From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. This is Alan Cairns saying hello to you and welcome once again to Let the Bible Speak. It's good to have you listening in today as we start out on another week of broadcasting. We continue our series of studies in the life of Christ by turning to Luke chapter 4 verses 14 and 15, and we're thinking of Christ taking Galilee by the power of the Spirit of God. A stirring study. I trust you'll stay with us as we look together into the Word of God. Our hot topic today returns to the subject of abortion and a new South Carolina measure that is hoped to be brought into play in the near future. South Carolina is getting the abortion on demand crowd upset. It is adopting a new measure in the ongoing issue of abortion. That measure requires a woman seeking an abortion to look at an ultrasound image of the child whose life she's thinking about terminating. One would think that such a step would be generally welcomed. After all, it sounds sensible to give a woman all possible information before she makes such a radical decision as aborting her baby. It not only sounds sensible, it is sensible. However, being sensible is not the standard by which the abortion lobby judges such matters. What matters to the self-appointed guardians of women's reproductive rights is that a woman should have no legal impediments to obtaining an abortion any time she wants one. Any attempt to make her think such a decision through is anathema to this crowd. They pretend to stand for the health and the well-being of the mother. In reality, they stand for a social and political agenda that cares little about the mental and emotional scars that many women carry for the rest of their lives after they come to realize the enormity of the act of killing their own baby. The New South Carolina measure is a step in the right direction. It will cut down the number of abortions. It should lead to the placement of more newborn babies in good adoptive families. It will therefore save lives and will enhance many women's mental and emotional well-being. In a North Carolina clinic, the simple expedient of having women look at ultrasound images of their babies before aborting them has let a number of mothers see that they're not just removing a lump of needless tissue or a mass of worthless cells. They're killing their own living offspring. That has led some to establish a mother-child bond, to recognize the baby in the womb for what it is, and to make the all-important decision not to kill the life they are carrying. A civilized state should, of course, have laws to protect the life of the unborn child. However, in the real world in which we live, there are very few civilized states. And in our supposedly advanced societies, babies of up to 3 months or even to 6 months gestation are chattels who live only if it's convenient for their mothers to allow them to live. In this atmosphere of state-sanctioned death, the South Carolina measure will not eradicate abortion on demand, but it should at least slow it down. And by making a woman stop long enough to look at her baby, it is powerfully reinforcing the point that there are issues that transcend her temporary convenience. Indeed, there are issues that are worth suffering for. For a mother looking at her own child, is there anything more important, more ennobling, than doing all that God's law demands of her to protect that precious life? That's the kind of question the new measure will encourage a woman to ask and answer. It's a good and wise move, a benefit to all concerned.
This is my soul. Many of you have already asked for our quarterly magazine, and have, I trust, been enjoying reading it. If you haven't yet joined our readership, I encourage you to do so. It's easy. All you have to do is call or write, either by conventional mail or by email, and we'll ship the magazine off to you. There's no cost to you at all, and no strings attached. We know that almost any time you order anything from most Christian ministries, you're likely to receive endless streams of begging letters. That will not happen when you write or call Let the Bible Speak. So make sure you get on our mailing list for the Let the Bible Speak quarterly magazine. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is ltbs@freepres.org. Our toll-free telephone number is 1-866-877-LTBS. 1-866-877-5827. We look forward to hearing from you and being able to send you our Let the Bible Speak quarterly magazine.
King of my life, I crown thee now. Thine shall the glory be. Lest I forget thy thorn-crowned brow, lead me to Calvary. Lest I forget Gethsemane, lest I forget thine agony. Lest I forget thy love for me, lead me to Calvary. Show me the tomb laid, tenderly mourned and wept. Angels in robes of light arrayed guarded thee whilst thou slept. Lest I forget Gethsemane, lest I forget thine agony, lest I forget thy love for me. Thine agony, I forget thy love for me. Lead me to Calvary.
We're turning in God's Word this morning to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 4, reading verses 23 through 25. And then if you would turn over to Luke chapter 4, we'll read verses 14 and 15. So with both passages open, we'll read these together. Matthew chapter 4, verse 23. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. And his fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought unto him all sick people that were taken with diverse diseases and torments, and those which were possessed with devils, and those which were lunatic, and those that had the palsy, and he healed them. And there followed him great multitudes of people from Galilee and from Decapolis and from Jerusalem and from Judea and beyond Jordan. Luke 4, verses 14 and 15. And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee, and there went out a fame of him through all the region round about, and he taught in their synagogues, being glorified of all. Amen. The Lord will add his blessing to this reading from his word for his name's sake. All that we have read this morning forms the text, but I suppose Luke 4, 14, the first part of the verse, sums it all up. Jesus returned, that is, returned from Judea. He returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee. This marks the beginning of our Lord's great Galilean ministry. Ministry that took up quite a part of his earthly time serving among the Jews. You remember that his baptism and his temptation took place in Judea. And since the healing of the nobleman's son was something more of a private miracle than a public one, we could say that this text marks the first public exercise in Galilee of the mighty power of the Holy Ghost with which the Lord Jesus was anointed at his baptism. And we can at once see why Satan was so prompt to challenge Christ in the wilderness of temptation after that baptism, after he was anointed and filled with the Holy Ghost. You can see why Satan came with all his forces and with all his fury to see if he could ruin this ministry at its very commencement, really before it would get underway. Satan understood what was at stake for him. And here we can begin to appreciate, as we read these verses together, we can begin to appreciate the invincible power of the Savior with which he confronted all the devil's dominion over the bodies and over the souls of men. These opening scenes of Christ's great Galilean ministry contain the promise. Indeed, more than the promise, they contain the assurance of his final victory. The powers and kingdom of darkness felt the weight of every word and of every deed of the Lord Jesus Christ as once and again he made Satan taste defeat in lives that he had ruled with dark and despotic and damning power. What I want you to think of today as we read these verses
and consider them very simply, is that as the King of Grace, our Lord Jesus Christ invaded the strongholds of Satan. He engaged the devil's most powerful forces, and he triumphed gloriously over them. And that triumph is witnessed in the changed lives of all the people whom he touched. So, quite simply today, we're going to be dealing with Christ taking Galilee by storm, by the power of the Holy Ghost. And as the Lord Jesus is set before us here, there are certain things that stand out that I think we should pay some attention to. And not only for historical purposes, to see what happened then, but for our own good today, to see what it is we need today if we are going to enjoy the victorious power of Christ in the ministry of His Word. And also that we may be able to get our eyes on Him. Remember what I keep on emphasizing, that as we live our lives in this world with all the trials and all the troubles, with all the attacks of the world and the flesh, yes, and of the devil, for let us not lose sight of this, Satan is a real personage, the forces of hell are real forces, and though it is now something of a joke to talk about Satan and what he does, every person who is insistent in doing the will of God, who is earnest about serving Christ, finds out that the forces of hell are dark and real and terrible. And if we are going to face those forces, it will not be by strength of will, it will not be by strength of character, it will not be by our education or by our talents, it will be by the clarity of our sight of Christ and our understanding of His person and of His work. The Christ who saves from sin, death, Satan and hell is the Christ who keeps us from sin and death and Satan and hell and gives us victory at every stage of life. So it's important for us then to mark the things that stand out in the text concerning Christ taking Galilee by storm. The first thing that stands out obviously is the message. The Lord Jesus, we are told in Matthew chapter 4, came or went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom. That was His message. Now, it's very easy to read that, but that is a huge, huge subject. And I have time only to deal with one aspect this morning. If you have a long memory, 2 months ago when I last dealt with a study in the life of Christ, I think that probably the message before the last, I did some study on the subject of the kingdom. And it's been so long ago, I think I'll have to refresh some memories, and maybe including my own. But since we've dealt with it then, I'm not going to deal with all that again. But simply let me say that there is a lot of misinformation on the subject. Larkin's book on the dispensations. Somebody sent me a copy. They thought I didn't know enough about Larkin's extreme dispensationalism. I already had a copy and had already had a good laugh, so I didn't need a second go, but I'd already had a copy. I still have my Scofield Bible, where I've read it there as well. I've often said that my favorite study Bible is a study Bible edited by one of the strongest dispensationalists England ever produced. Makes Scofield seem a moderate. And so I'm very well aware of what they say about the gospel of the kingdom. This is not one of 7 different gospels. Let me make that very clear to you. This is not a way of salvation distinct from the gospel of the grace of God. Anybody who has ever read Acts chapter 20 has to see that in plain black and white, and the absolutely certain testimony of the apostle where he equates the two. This is not another way of salvation. This is not a gospel for a different dispensation. This is an aspect of the one true everlasting gospel, the gospel of the kingdom. What is it? As the Lord Jesus went about Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom, we must understand that He was preaching the good news that the long promised kingdom had at last arrived. Now, to the Jews, that was staggering and exciting information. Unfortunately, they interpreted it in one sense only, and like most people, they got it all wrong. The Lord Jesus, interestingly, termed this gospel of the kingdom the gospel of the kingdom of what? Of heaven and the kingdom of God. This kingdom is called the kingdom of heaven. I think that may well describe its nature. It stands distinct from all the kingdoms of the world. And yet its sphere is here on this earth. And by using this description, the kingdom of heaven, this heavenly kingdom operating in the sphere of earth, the Lord Jesus Christ clearly states that His kingdom, if I may borrow the words of Patrick Fairburn, with whom I don't really entirely agree in other places, but I think this is a beautiful statement, that His kingdom is set in opposition to all the empire of evil, the dominion of sin in the individual and the race.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. I hope that you found today's broadcasting a blessing to your heart. If you'd like to email us, our email address is ltbs@freepres.org. Or if you'd prefer, you may write us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. We would love to hear from you. If you'd like to know how to be saved and how to be sure you're saved, we'd like to send you my booklet, A New Beginning, and I think that you'll find it very helpful. Each quarter we publish a free full-color magazine, Let the Bible Speak Quarterly, with a good variety of Bible teaching and testimony. It's available to all who request it. If you'd like to receive more information about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America and its ministry, we'd like to send you our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel. Or if you'd like to have tape or CD copies of the messages here in Let the Bible Speak, you may have them by contacting us. Or you may visit us on the web at letthebiblespeakradio.com. Now that's a lot of information to digest all at once, but you can find it all on our website, letthebiblespeakradio.com. There you'll be able to listen to and download our programs, visit our online bookstore, and read a text version of each day's commentary. So visit us today at letthebiblespeakradio.com. This is Alan Cairns saying, thank you for listening. I trust that you'll join us each day at this time, Monday through Friday, as we Let the Bible Speak.